Air online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, increasing energy prices are likely to see the inflation rate continue to rise in the coming months. The Cán Comhairle has reprimanded Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty in the Dáil following heated exchanges with the Taoiseach. It's time for the government to seriously consider using holiday homes to accommodate Ukrainian refugees. That's according to the Irish Refugee Council. And an open public meeting is to be held in Killybegs this weekend over the ongoing fish weighing controversy at the port. We'll also have all the latest in sports news with Kenny Harkin. First in news though, increasing energy prices are likely to see the inflation rate continue to rise in the coming months. It hit a 22-year high in the year to March at 6.7%. Over the year, home heating oil increased by over 126% and solid fuels went up by 20.5%. Diesel costs rose by 46% and petrol was up 35.2%, according to the CSO. Chief economist with KBC Bank Ireland, Austin Hughes, says inflation may hit 8% by the summer.
I think it's going to be a hot summer in terms of Irish inflation, with further increases in domestic energy bills added to the sort of spillover impacts that we're likely to see from elevated global oil prices and gas prices.
The Cán Comhairle has reprimanded Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty in the Dáil following heated exchanges with the Taoiseach. On the topic of the rising cost of living, Deputy Doherty repeated calls for additional measures to be put in place. In one instance, he accused Leo Varadkar of not getting it, to which the Taoiseach responded by labelling the Sinn Féin finance spokesperson as fake.
Deputy, no matter what response I gave to you just now, your answer was going to be what you said. It's your catch cry. It's your standard line. No matter what anybody says to you, you're going to say that they're out of touch and they don't get it. Of course we get it, Deputy. There's €200 coming off people's electricity bills as I speak because we understand the burden on people of increased energy costs, albeit ones caused by factors outside of our control. That's why we had the biggest cut in excise on petrol and diesel ever. 20 cents taken off petrol, 15 cents taken off diesel. It's why we increased the fuel allowance. It's why we had a pension increase in the budget. And it's why we reduced income taxes for middle-income people despite your opposition. That's evidence of the fact that we get it, the fact that we have acted in that way. But we're not in a position to chase every increase. We're not in a position to fully compensate people for every increase. And we need to be honest about that. In terms of the engagement, with the Commission, there's been an ongoing engagement with the Commission on this matter, both by the Taoiseach and the Minister of Finance. The reality is the proposal that you are making and have making is in breach of the European VAT directive, is in breach of the European Excise Directive. And the reason why you can't let me finish, the reason why you won't let me speak, the reason why you continue to try to shout me down is you don't want to know. You don't want the Irish people to know what a fake you are. The fact that you keep making proposals that you know can't be implemented, that shows to me that you don't get it and you won't listen to what I have to say because you don't want people to get you.
Please, resume your seat, Deputy Doherty. Resume your seat, Deputy, please. Treat the House with some respect, please, and adhere. Please, treat the House with some respect.
It's time for the government to seriously consider using holiday homes to accommodate Ukrainian refugees. That's according to the Irish Refugee Council, which has made a new proposal to government that would see holiday home owners paid €400 per month to take in new arrivals. It comes as senior ministers were warned the state could run out of beds by the end of the month. Chief Executive of the Irish Refugee Council, Nick Henderson, says a community response is needed.
Not all holiday homes are in rural locations. I think there's approximately 1,000 holiday homes in Dublin City alone. They may be not necessarily in large urban areas, but they may be in local communities. And that's where I think the question then moves on to how can we support a local response to this challenge?
There was a €6 million shortfall in Donegal County Council's rates income last year, with 27% of that deemed to be irrecoverable. Figures presented to members this week show that in both 2018 and 2019, the council collected 76% of its potential rates income. In 2020, that fell to 61%, and last year the figure rose to 70%. Michaela Clark has more details.
The council says the COVID-19 pandemic had an impact on collection performance, pointing out that in early 2020 there were indications that collection rates would improve, with first quarter collection figures actually up. However, the pandemic and the public health measures introduced as a result impacted on the ability of many businesses to discharge their liabilities, which in turn had an impact on collection performance. During 2020 and 2021, Donegal County Council provided several important COVID-19 supports which were funded by central government. 2021 saw a €6 million deficit in the collection of rates, 1.6 of which were deemed irrecoverable. The remaining €4.4 million relates to vacant properties.
A business owner in Killybegs says the port could lose millions of euro as a result of the current controversy over the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority's demands for strict weighing protocols. The industry claims that if fish are weighed in the way the SFPA demand, they will be left unfit for human consumption. Eugene McBurty, owner of the Care Group in Killybegs, says foreign boats could be bringing great business opportunities. Instead, he says the situation is a mess, with hundreds of local jobs dependent on providing services for the incoming boats now at risk. In one instance this week, a boat left Killybegs and landed its catch in Derry. The Killybegs company, which had already bought the catch then, had to collect the fish in Derry. Mr McBurty says that is a ludicrous situation.
That boat was deemed 16 hours from Killybegs to Derry. Then the company sent 40 lorries up to take the fish down. So it took about 32,000 litres of fuel to take the boat from Killybegs to Derry. And then it took about €800 per lorry to go from Killybegs to Derry to take the fish back. And we're talking about environment. There's a shortage of fuel at the moment. The fact is Killybegs could be busy now till the end of May with Norwegian boats.
Well, an open public meeting is to be held in Killybegs this weekend over the ongoing controversy. It comes as the Irish Fishing and Seafood Alliance has stated that the industry in Killybegs is in crisis. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In a statement, the Irish Fishing and Seafood Alliance says demands made by Ireland's Sea Fisheries Protection Authority are unreasonable. The IFSA says that's resulted in the loss of catches from four Danish and Norwegian vessels, costing the local industry in excess of €1 million. A public meeting will take place at the Tara Hotel at 4 o'clock on Saturday, organised by Manus Boyle of Killybegs Stevedores Limited. All members of the public, fishermen, processors, factory workers, shop and catering staff, and political representatives from all parties are invited to attend. The organisers say they want people to give their opinion and participate in the formulation of an action plan to stop what they say is the increased harassment of the Irish fishing industry by Department of the Marine Civil Servants and the SFPA.
Just over 40,000 homes were passed by the end of March under the National Broadband Plan. That's according to Sinn Féin's spokesperson on communications, who has received updated figures from National Broadband Ireland. It shows the target for the end of the year has been reduced to 102,000 from 205,000. The company's issued a statement reiterating its view that the project can be delivered on time and on budget. Deputy Rory O'Warahu says the update on the rollout is a cause of huge concern.
This isn't good enough. I do accept that there were COVID delays. Every industry was impacted, but we have significant problems. We haven't just missed targets by a small amount. We have significantly missed them. We all know the importance, particularly as we talk about remote working, of internet connectivity and good internet connectivity. And this isn't in any way good enough.
The government has been warned that post offices will close if postmasters can't make a living. South Donegal Deputy Marion Harkin told the Dáil that postmasters are concerned that in a year's time they will no longer be in their role. Minister of State with responsibility for transport, Hilgard Nocton, says the government is committed to a sustainable post office network and continues to meet weekly to ensure the viability of such. Deputy Harkin proposed a PSO be introduced to save the service.
doubt the fact that you want to see a sustainable post office network. My issue is not with you personally. It's how it's being done, or literally how it's not being done. Because we have a situation where next year postmasters will be basically relying on payment for transactions. Has the government looked at a PSO? Why has your interdepartmental group, who was supposed to report last July, still not reported? It is 9 months after it was supposed to report. What is happening? What progress is being made? I mean, postmasters are at the end of their tether. I've met them from all over my constituency, Leitrim, Roscommon, Sligo and Donegal. These are ordinary people going to work every day, wanting to provide a service. You told us what a brilliant service it was during COVID. But these people are genuinely concerned that this time next year, some of them won't be there. And what will we have? We'll have councillors and TDs, including myself, asking that this post office won't be closed. But if you don't have a postmaster to run it, if they can't make a living, we'll have no post offices.
Detectives in Derry have reissued an appeal over a robbery at a local bookmaker's. The incident happened on Leckie Road in the city on Saturday, the 26th of March. Cuaoimh Sé Conaly has more.
A man described as being around 6 foot two tall and wearing a grey hooded top and dark coloured bottoms entered the shop at around 4:10 p.m. and approached the counter area where he struck a screen with an unidentified object. The suspect demanded a staff member hand over cash. A sum of money was handed over to the man, who then fled. As part of the investigation into this incident, detectives at Strand Road have since arrested a 34-year-old man on suspicion of robbery. He has since been bailed pending further inquiries. In a statement, Detective Inspector Lavery said that this was a despicable incident which must have been terrifying for the staff member. Anyone with information or anyone who was driving on the Leckie Road at the time of the incident and who may have captured dashcam footage is asked to contact detectives at Strand Road. The number to call is 101.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And Kenny Harkins here with all the latest.
Thanks, Catherine. We'll start with golf, and it's the first major of the season, and Padraig Harrington's tied for the lead on the opening day of the Masters. With 7 holes left to play, the Dubliner is 1 under par. It's a mark he currently shares with 5 other golfers. Shane Lowry's 1 over par through his first 4 holes. Seamus Power gets his Masters debut appearance underway in just under an hour, while Rory McIlroy is in the last group out this evening and starting at about 7:32 Irish time. And on his return to the sport, Tiger Woods, he's out on the course and has parred his first 2 holes. In horse racing, Clan des Oboes made it back-to-back wins in the Betway Bowl Chase on the opening day of the Aintree Grand National Meeting. Here's Dennis Kerwin.
The Grade 1 Betway Bowl was won for the second year in succession by Clan des Oboes, trained by Paul Nichols and ridden by Harry Cobden. The 13-2 shot survived a blunder at the third last, but stayed on gamely to hold off the challenge of the Gordon Elliott-trained Conflated, ridden by Davy Russell. And there wasn't much luck for Russell in the Grade 1 juvenile hurdle when his 11-10 on favourite Pied Piper dead-heated with 14-1 shot Knight Salute. The pair fought tooth and nail after the last, and the judge could not separate them, but following a steward's inquiry, the race was awarded to Knight Salute, with Pied Piper demoted to second. And Russell then came to the last upsides epitant in the Grade 1 Aintree hurdle aboard Zanahir, but the pair parted company, handing an easy victory to the Nicky Henderson trained mare in the hands of Aidan Coleman at odds of 2-1. So no Irish winner on the card so far as we head into the bumper. At Aintree with Paddy Power News, the place for all your Grand National Festival tips, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Meanwhile, there's 20 Irish runners have been declared in the field of 40 for Saturday's Grand National at the Aintree. Last year's winner, Minniella Times, trained by Henry de Bromhead and to be ridden by Rachel Blackmore, will carry top weight. Gordon Elliott has 7 runners in the race, and Wooly Mullins, he saddles 4 hopefuls. In rugby, Jonathan Sexton returns to the Leinster team for Friday's Heineken Champions Cup last 16 first leg away to Connacht. He partners Luke McGrath in the three quarters, and there's an all-new tight five from last week's win over Munster. Cian Healy, Dan Sheehan and Tadhg Furlong return to the front row, with Ross Munley and Josh Murphy in the second row. Bundy Aki will start in the Connacht midfield for the first time since before the Six Nations, and into the pack come Gavin Thornbury and Jared Butler. In soccer, West Ham welcome Lyon to the London Stadium tonight for the first leg of the Europa League quarter-final. Also underway at 8 o'clock is Rangers' game away to Braga and the meeting of Eintracht Frankfurt and Barcelona, also starting at 8 o'clock. There's a 5:45 start in Germany where RB Leipzig, they play Atalanta. Meanwhile, Leicester, they're in the Conference League quarter-final action tonight at home to PSV Eindhoven. That one starts at 8 o'clock. Another new Spurs boss, Antonio Conte, says teams should only play in the Champions League if they've earned the right to. UEFA expected to vote through changes that would allow bigger clubs extra qualification places even if they had a poor domestic season. And clubs will soon face a cap on wages after UEFA approved a new squad cost rule. It's part of a wider sustainability regulations voted through to replace the previous financial fair play system. Transfers and agent fees will also be limited to 70% of a side's revenue, and that figure set after a 3-year gradual increase. And Liverpool are believed to have tied up a deal to sign Fabio Carvalho from Fulham in the summer. Carvalho will cost an initial €6 million and has agreed a 5-year deal at Anfield. Some Gaelic Games news. Donegal play Tyrone in under 20 action tomorrow night. 8 o'clock is the start time at Celtic Park. Supporters are reminded they must buy tickets in advance online or in selected Super Value Centre stores, as there will be no cash sales at the ground. Finally, for this evening on The Score this week with Oisin Kelly, Keith Cowan joins us to look ahead to the League of Ireland action. Maxi Curran looks ahead to the Division 1 League final against Meath on Sunday. Donegal play Tyrone for a place in that Ulster Under 20 Championship final tomorrow night. We'll hear from Gary Duffy and Paul Devlin, while Mickey McCann looks forward to a busy Nicky Rackard Championship campaign. And Alec McDonald gives his views on another big weekend for relegation-threatened City of Derry in rugby. That's The Score after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Catherine.
Thank you, Kenny. Weather now cool this evening with sunshine and scattered showers. Blustery at first, but the winds will gradually ease throughout the evening. Cold tonight, and while it will be mainly dry, there'll be a few showers around with the odd wintry one. Lowest temperatures of -2 to +2 degrees with frost and ice forming and just light variable breezes. Closing headlines now. Increasing energy prices are likely to see the inflation rate continue to rise in the coming months. It's time for the government to seriously consider using holiday homes to accommodate Ukrainian refugees. That is according to the Irish Refugee Council. And an open public meeting is to be held in Killybegs this weekend over the ongoing fish weighing controversy at the harbour. That's it for now. We're back with more at 6. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, our main focus of attention this evening is the sheep sector, which is so important in Donegal. Prices are certainly good at the moment, although the cost of inputs continues to spiral. To get a broader picture of what is going on, I spoke earlier today with Darren Carty, sheep editor with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Yes, Chris. I suppose you could look at it two ways, in that the cost of inputs will be a major challenge for farmers this year. They need all the money they can get in regards on farm gate returns, but that's at least positive at the moment, that we'd be in an awful lot worse situation if we had fertiliser prices escalating, meal prices escalating, and if we were in a very bad situation on price. And thankfully, spring lamb trade has kicked off this week. It's starting positively around anywhere from €8 a kilo to €8.40 or €8.50 a kilo. The hogger trade is good as well, Chris. But I suppose in the last week, the real thing that's after over grabbing all the attention or setting the headlines is prices paid for cool use, which is phenomenal at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I see they've hit as high as €300 per head. And for a sheep county like Donegal, there's a lot of interest in these prices at the moment.
Oh, massive. Like, even the Marta Port that came in, even from Ford the other day, Cullew sold to a top of 284 euros per head. And I suppose what really makes it interesting, or what really makes it unique, is this: you're probably looking at definitely a doubling, if not 2.5 times of an increase over the last 12 to 18 months. And like, when we're talking about cull ewes, these are ewes that are at the end of their lifetime, and for farmers to be able to recoup that money on them is fantastic. And the one, like, mart managers are telling me that there's a double-edged sword in this. They have a lot of farmers coming in now and bringing in 2, 3, say, ewes that either rotten in lamb or had issues that maybe lost lambs, just basically to generate cash flow, because they're that good of a trade, they can liquidate them, and it's going, I suppose, some way to pay in the higher costs of fertiliser or meal prices, and long may that continue. The one thing that's keeping a good flow under it at the moment is demand across Europe is tight, but the Ramadan festival, which started at the start of April and ended at the, will end at the end of the month, is also putting a good floor and putting more, I suppose, bite into the trade.
And I suppose in some ways the strong price for the cull ewes is, it's really overshadowing the start of the spring lamb trade.
Definitely. A farmer said to me there, he sold ewes and lambs in Tullamart on Tuesday. There was a special spring lamb sale, and he sold his spring lambs, which he thought was for a great price of 182 euros a head, and his cull ewes came in later on and they made 238 euros a head. So if that was this time last year, your spring lamb might be selling for 180, but your cull ewe will be back somewhere between 100 and 130. So it's really, I suppose, a total change around. And like, we're seeing that even on the beef side, cull cows are selling for a great trade, and it's something that you wouldn't have thought, or you wouldn't have imagined would be the situation in the trade at the moment. But it just shows the demand that's there in food service for this sort of mutton or for beef.
Mm-hmm. And for how long can this current spike continue, do you think?
There is a lot of discussions around that, and some people are saying it's not sustainable, say prices can't stay. But the way I look at it is that supplies are tight right across Europe. That in last year, the sheep flock across Europe declined by 3%. There's a lot less New Zealand lamb coming into the EU market. The UK flock has also been under downward pressure in recent years. So all of them factors combined would give cause or give optimism for a good trade right throughout the year. Now, obviously, cull ewes have been sold at the moment at a time when numbers are very small. Later on in the year, there obviously will be some pressure on that. But you would be optimistic that for the immediate period ahead, that the trade will hold for them, and that there should be a good trade for spring lambs and hoggets.
And I see heavy fleshed ewes weighing in excess of 95 kilos are exceeding the 200 euro mark. So certainly the sellers will be pleased with that.
Definitely. Like you're generally looking at a ewe weighing around 95 to 105 kilos, selling anywhere from 200 to 260. And then there's a selection of prices hitting even as high as 300, like we reported this week. Your medium weight yours doing 80 to 85 kilos, somewhere from 150 to 180. And then it's a poor quality yaw that's selling back under 100 euros. Like, all of them are real prices. They're significant and well needed, and generating a nice, I suppose, boost at a time when we've seen fertiliser prices treble. We've seen meal costs probably double. And like, there's nothing on the horizon to show that either of them are going to ease back.
Yeah, which of course leads to the question as to, at the end of the day, just what are the margins of profitability?
Yeah, like this year, even take prices where they are, even take, we're talking about, say, beef price being up, lamb price being up, it still isn't up at a level to maintain gross margins even at last year's levels. And last year was the first year you could say where sheep farmers had a reasonably good year and that they made money that they could reinvest in their systems. This year, all the forecasts are that farm incomes in the sheep sector will be down somewhere between 10 and 15%. That could rise to 20% if concentrate prices in particular continue to escalate in the back end of the year.
Now, just before we leave you, Darren, there's a number of schemes with deadlines looming. Important that people are fully aware of those deadlines.
Yeah, definitely. There's been a few new schemes announced there recently as part of the EU Agriculture Crisis Reserve Fund, or say our own government's move to safeguard food security and to try and increase the volume of grain in particular, but also to try and boost forage and fodder supplies for next year. So the multi-species sward measure and the red clover measure closes on the 14th of April. The organic scheme closes on the 22nd of April. And look at the big one for all your listeners, Chris, is going to be the basic payment schemes applications, which close in mid-May. And look, at that's a really important one because it has such an important role in family farm income.
And that was Darren Carty, the sheep editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, it was reported this week that environmental permits may be required by some cattle and dairy farmers in the future in order for them to keep livestock. That's according to one radical new proposal from the European Commission. However, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has slammed the proposals, telling the Farmers Journal that the proposals do not appear to be based on the reality of Irish livestock farming, which is, as he put it, incredibly sustainable. The IFA Aquaculture Conference was held in Mayo today, and in his address, IFA President Tim Cullinan stressed that sustainable aquaculture has a vital part to play at a time of the greatest need for sustainable food production. Irish aquaculture is worth €180 million to the Irish economy, providing almost 2,000 direct jobs and contributing to 8,500 indirect jobs. Meanwhile, the latest meeting of the Forestry Policy Group took place this week. Seamus Boland of the Irish Rural Link informed the meeting that many views across a range of issues were canvassed, resulting in 85% of respondents feeling that there was too little forestry happening in Ireland, and just 4% saying there was too much, with 11% saying just the right amount. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 7th of April. The death has taken place of Dermot McLaughlin, 54, Upper Main Street, West End, Bunkrana. Removal from McLaughlin's funeral home, Bunkrana, tonight at 8:30, going to his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:15 to St Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. The death has taken place of Anna Wallace, née Holmes, Glencar Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Maharamore, Manor Cunningham and Drumahull. Anna's remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest tomorrow evening from 5:30 to 7, with removal afterwards to her home at Glencar Road, which is private to family only, please. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to St Columbus Church, Drumahull, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery, Letterkenny. The death has taken place of Garetti McMonagall, née Hanrahan, Creve Smith, Letterkenny, formerly of Fecal, County Clare. Garetti's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning for Mass at 11 o'clock in St Eunan's Cathedral, followed by cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, County Cavan. The funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family Flowers Only, please, donations to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Mary McGinley, Naismith, Karlsruhe, Germany, and formerly of Kilternan, County Dublin. Funeral leaving Quigley's funeral home, Strabane, on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Margaret Massey, Greta, Naima Goldrick, Strabane. Funeral Mass will take place tomorrow morning at 9:30 in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, followed by burial in Strabane Cemetery. House private, please, family flowers only. Donations in lieu of flowers to Cat Protection Society, care of any family member. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.